This call is being recorded.
Hello? Right, he's right.
They've improved the
So you made it back okay?
Yes, sir. You did too?
Yes, sir. Did you know that while we were gone, that West Virginia passed the marijuana? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It happened while we were down there on drug and alcohol. Great.
Buddy.
Is that just for medical purposes only? As of now. Yeah. That might be a good business to get into.
I'm not kidding you.
It's going to be a booming business.
Oh, I know.
Booming. I could invest in something like that. I probably would.
We have healthy donuts today.
Yeah, I see that.
From that to little shop.
No. I have to be at the top. Well,
I'm not going to attend that while you're meeting. We have a meal.
Anyway,
5 minutes will start. It should be the agenda. Looks long, but not really. Very short. It's a repetition. Here. Are you sitting here?
Celine Jennifer may have sold me on this Surface Pro here. It does sound pretty nice.
I have one. How do you get to be so cool?
Well,
hear me, Perry?
No, it comes with it.
They have sold me on
this. I write my name, Paul.
Okay.
Then I go to draw, and I tell it to change it to ink the text.
What's the name of this book?
This is Note, Microsoft OneNote. OneNote. Yeah, see?
I thought it's actually to do the board and learn more.
Yeah, but if I, you know, if you just write your name, it says. Oh, yeah. I don't know what I did here. So you just write your name, and even if I misspell it, and then I just tell it to draw, and I want to do ink and text. Well, I kind of messed it up. But yeah, it does. It's amazing.
As easy to connect with your computer at the office.
Yeah, it has this one. They had a special going, so it had a docking station that went with it. I'm good.
You need Coke?
Well, no, I'm trying to drink water.
Okay.
Trying to be healthier.
Okay. MOU meeting. I guess we're going to have it after.
Okay.
And you are, what's your name?
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm president of the club.
I think I still remember.
You live.
Okay.
We've been filling in a little bit.
So. This is, did y'all get new notepads or this time?
It changed though.
Yeah. This is pretty good. You can write your, you can tell us to do this.
You guys heard anybody?
Like my name. You can change it to.
Do we have anybody on the phone? Okay, well, if you're there, you're on mute. We'll be starting in a couple minutes.
I'm on the phone. This is Gretchen from Nelson Lagard.
Okay, Gretchen. This is Jody. We'll be starting here in a couple minutes.
Okay.
Get the plane to go.
Yeah.
I may have to leave.
Could you announce the agency maybe about
the MOU
meeting?
Yeah, sure.
Or maybe you need to check with someone.
Yeah, okay.
Please grab your donut. Please put it.
I don't know, I might get in trouble if they're all gone, though. If you already signed it, keep passing it.
Thank you.
We need to have a screen. And the screen, we can put donuts.
Yeah, but if they eat all the donuts, then I might get in trouble if they're not getting enough.
Okay. You ready to get started?
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome, everybody, to the Kiowa meeting, TAC Kiowa meeting, and on Tuesday, April the 25th. I'd like to call the meeting to order. I'd like to welcome everybody. And as usual, we usually start the meeting off with self-introductions, and we'll start to my left.
I'm Bethany Wild with Kiowa.
Mike Naylor, County Treasurer.
Billy Johnson, Secretary for Banking Guidance. Terry Ellison,
Jennifer Woodall, Tri-State Friends Authority.
Beth Clay, Orange County Engineer.
Scott Thompson, Head Office Design.
Joe Callahan, Transportation Candidate.
Randy Wheeler, National Bus System.
Kara Greathouse, I'm the planning director with Greg the Charleston NCO.
Justin Matthews, Center for Business and Economic Research on the Rahal Transportation.
Chase Workman, Federal Highway, West Virginia.
Paul Gilbert,
Judy Sigmund, Taylor. Rob Watson, West Virginia Division of Highways.
Harry Keller, West Virginia Division of Highways.
Doug Rush, Great Control.
I told you, Dora, correct.
Thomas Wick, Kentucky Transportation Cabinet.
Luke Stapleton, FOSCO.
Kelly Ward, FOSCO.
Terry Sicking, Kiowa.
Celine Salami, Kiowa.
Bree, we missed you.
Oh, Bree Shell, I'm the city planner for Huntington.
Yeah. And I'm Paul Davis. I'm with the TTA, Tri-State Transit Authority. Okay, well, we're going to move right on to the approval of the minutes from our previous meeting as distributed. Action will be required after you have the opportunity to review. Is there a second? All right, Patrick. Thank you. It's been a motion. It's been properly seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion say nay. Or second. Something like that. The ayes have it. I'll get it right here in a minute. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Item number three. We'll get it right here in a minute. Kiowa Transportation Studies, Projects Update. And we have Chet Parsons, Huntington Street Flooding Mitigation Plan.
Yes, sir, I'm here. Can everyone hear me?
Yep.
All right, do we have slides on the screen?
We do.
Okay, we're gonna move right into current status. We are getting close to the end of this project. We are scheduled to wrap up at the end of June. Items 1 and 2 there on current status, we have completed closure scenarios for some of the problem areas around town, including all of the underpasses and 3rd and 5th Avenues. So we've looked at those in terms of the travel demand model. We have also completed stormwater modeling and have developed draft memorandums that detail the results of those tests and some possible green infrastructure solutions that we can incorporate. So the next step, item 3, is to look at alternatives. And we're going to be developing a template of future projects that would incorporate some of those green infrastructure options and possible road diets. We have noticed that a lot of the corridors, especially the east-west corridors, the traffic volumes are high in spots, but there may be some flexibility to incorporate better drainage and some green infrastructure solutions in appropriate areas. So we're going to take a hard look at that. We do have a nationally recognized team of economists that are going to be looking at our benefit cost analysis for each of the projects that we develop. And I think that one of the things we're going to look at with the uncertainty in federal funding and the TIGER program itself, we're going to come back. We were scoped to just look at the TIGER BCA analysis, but we're going to kind of take that a little broader and look at other programs that might be comparable or better options in terms of getting future funding for some of these projects. So that's on the docket for the next 30 to 45 days. And then finally, we'll be developing recommendations and ranking those options to develop a final recommendation as the plan result. And then again, go through and identify funding resources so that the MPO can then take those recommendations and actually do something with them. The next slide, simulated closures. We are looking at these seven locations were identified by our steering committee. These are not, this is not new information, but it's an update for those that may not be familiar with the project. So those are the 5 underpasses at 1st, 8th, 10th, 16th, and 20th Streets, as well as 3rd and 5th Avenues. Those are areas where there have been high water events and closures on occasion. The next slide, closure impacts. We have performed the traffic modeling with a 2040, the future year, testing each of these scenarios and combinations of scenarios. We ended up with 13 different scenarios that we looked at. We'll be coming back to this once we come up with the possible solutions and seeing how they test out. And then just to give you an idea of what came out of this traffic model, the next slide, the next 3 slides, but the next slide will be performance results. And this one shows you the 2040 no build scenario. And it's basically what would happen if there were no improvements made to the system and you took traffic and built it according to the conditions today and projected that out to the year 2040. So what we're looking at is a multi-graphic display here. The thicker the line is, the blue line, the more traffic volume there is. So if you look at the southern end of the graph, you can see I-64 where you've got a lot of the thick lines. And then the darker the line is the higher congestion numbers. So you can locate, for example, 16th Street, Halgrier Boulevard. There are some high traffic volumes there as you get to the underpass and into downtown. You can also see high traffic volumes on 3rd and 5th Avenues to the east end. So that's the 2040 no build. If you go to the next slide, you look at, this is a screenshot of scenario 4, which is what would happen if we had a closure on 16th Street at the underpass there at CSX. What would that do to the surrounding streets? So you can see higher traffic volumes and congestion on 20th Street and 10th Street going under the CSX tracks. And you could also see some higher congestion on
I believe it's 8th Street and 10th Street on the south side of the tracks, traveling between Hal Greer and 20th Street. And if we go to the next slide, this will be scenario 13. What would happen if all of the underpasses and 3rd and 5th Avenues were closed, except for 1st Street? So 1st Street was the only way to get through, and everything else was in flood conditions. What would happen? So you can see the thing to notice here is higher traffic volumes on I-64, higher congestion. You would also see higher congestion on the west end streets from US 52 into downtown. People make those choices to go that way because of the impediments to getting through at their normal commute locations. So these are just some examples of the results of the traffic model. We do have results for all 13 of those scenarios if anyone wants more information, and we pass those along to Salim and Bethany to review. At this point, that's the update. I'd be happy to take any questions if anyone has any particular curiosities. Otherwise, we're chugging forward, and we're looking forward to getting you more information over the next 30 to 45 days before we move to wrap this up. Thank you.
Any questions? Okay, well, thank you very much, Chet. We really appreciate that.
My pleasure.
Thank you for your report. Okay, next item is the transit study for Boyd and Greenup County. Jessica Choi is on the line, or here.
Yep, hi there, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. So our status update, we've submitted our draft final report to Cuyahoga for review, and we're looking to have the final report finalized in the next few weeks here once we receive comments back from Cuyahoga. So we're thinking probably a May wrap-up is that's what it's looking like right now. To give you a quick overview of what the report looks like right now, it's really kind of two different parts. So the first is looking at existing conditions. We particularly focus on some of the transit-dependent populations, so looking at population density, employment density, looking at income, zero-vehicle households, that sort of thing. We created a transit index to start looking at, you know, where are these transit-dependent populations living, where are their areas, geographic gaps where we're not servicing servicing people with existing service. So we actually engaged some local stakeholders. We had FIVECO, Lawrence County Transit, Ashland Bus, Carlsberg, Riceland, Flatwoods. The list kind of goes on and on. We took our initial recommendations, asked these folks to review them, give us comments, and I think the final high-level recommendations really reflect that. We have short-term, mid-term, and long-term recommendations for the Boyd and Greenup County area, looking at resource and service coordination, frequency, and you know, things that are really important to kind of boost transit service and transit ridership. These ultimately are slated to be included in the MTP, which y'all are talking about a little bit. But you know, just keep in mind that these are high-level recommendations that probably need more in-depth studies prior to actually restructuring and restructuring routes and such. I'm ready to take any questions, and if not, we'll be moving forward with the final report.
Okay. Any questions for Jessica? Okay, very good. Well, thank you so much.
Appreciate
the report. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tri-State Transit Authority's expansion study, Gretchen Johnson with Nelson Nygaard. Are you on the line?
I am, yes.
Great. Well, you're up and center. Everybody can hear you.
All right, great. Thanks, everyone, for having me. So to give you kind of an update in terms of some of the documentation and background, we've put together a rough draft of the market analysis and existing conditions, which includes a little bit of the background planning document review as well. So we are working through that, making changes, updates to that. And then also we had, I guess maybe 2 weeks ago now almost, we were out in Huntington and did some public meetings and some outreach, had a survey, got a tour of the area. So really still kind of information gathering at this stage, but it all seemed to go really well. We got great responses to the survey. So we're processing that data now for the survey, and then also processing data for, we did a what we call 100% ride check, essentially gathering information or counting the number of boardings and alightings for each stop that the bus makes. So we're processing that data along with the survey data to create sort of profiles for each of the routes. And so that's really where we're in a lot of sort of data crunching and looking at performance and the network, the service as a network and as an individual routes. So we'll be kind of, you know, with our heads down, working through that for the next couple months, but hopefully we have some good stuff that comes out of it. So that's the sort of overview. I think does anyone have any questions?
I don't see any hands up with questions. Thank you so much, Gretchen. I just want to personally say it was from our TTA's point of view, Jennifer and myself, it was a pleasure working with you guys 2 weeks ago and seeing you in town, and I really enjoyed participating with the onboard surveys. It was good. Thank you so much.
Oh, yes. No, you are welcome. We really enjoyed it as well, and I'm really excited. We got some really good responses and good feedback, so we enjoyed our time there and have a really good sense now of the area. It's always a lot harder from just looking at maps, even though
We also had a lot
helps, but
had a lot of good help from Kiowa staff too. So appreciate Terry and Jody and Bethany and Salim and everybody that really helped us. So it was a good visit. Thank you.
Yes, everyone at PTA and Kiowa were very helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Lawrence County non-motorized bicycle and pedestrian plan. Got a mobility study. Matt Selhorst.
Yeah. Hi. Good morning.
Hi, Matt.
Hi. So this study, just to remind everybody, contains basically five different aspects to it: the truck mobility study, Lawrence County bike ped plan, the Park Avenue traffic study, the Ironton bike ped plan, and then a sidewalk assessment for Ironton. So the first is the truck flow study. As I mentioned last meeting, we've collected a lot of field data, existing conditions, and we've been evaluating some intersections. Following some discussions with ODOT and the City of Ironton and the county, we went out and took some additional traffic counts last month at the end of the new bridge at 2nd and Jefferson, 4th and Jefferson, and 2nd Park, 4th and Park. So we're analyzing that data right now with the traffic counts and going to have some discussions with the city and the county and ODOT regarding that. And we plan on wrapping up the recommendations and some exhibits toward the end of next month. The bike and ped plan, we're wrapping up all the field collection there and doing some base mapping. We actually sent out a survey. Some of you may have received it yesterday. It's asking for your usage, basically, of any of the bikes and ped facilities in the county, in Lawrence County there. It's open for 2 weeks, so please, if you did receive that survey, please feel free to fill it out. And if you want to pass that along, feel free to do so. We'll try to get as much feedback as we can. We use that input to compile to help us with recommendations that we'll have a draft of next month, and then we'll take forward for public participation in June. The third part of this is the Park Avenue traffic study. I mentioned back in February that we conducted traffic counts out there. We've completed the mapping. We've done the crash analysis. We've done the signal warrant analysis. We actually looked so far that a signal is warranted at Park at the intersections of 6th, 8th, and 9th Street. So we'll continue to look at that. And we're also completing our capacity analysis for that section of the roadway. And then we'll have some conceptual improvements to review here next month. The Ironton bike and ped plan, we're going to, again, use the results of that survey. We can kind of hone in on what's in part of Lawrence County, but what's also centered toward Ironton as part of that. So following that survey collection, we'll begin some of the data collection in Ironton. And then the last piece is a sidewalk assessment. I mentioned that this winter we completed a lot of the mobile mapping for Ironton, and we processed it into a citywide microstation CAD file, and we're currently identifying any deficiencies that are part of their looking at the sidewalks, curb ramps, and we'll have a prioritized list then next month. And so we've been coordinating with Kiowa, with the staff, with the city, county, ODOT. We did attend a STIP-TIP public meeting last month in April, received a few comments regarding the Park Avenue study, and we are planning on holding a public involvement sometime in June once we get the draft of these studies here next month. So take any questions then.
Any questions for Matt? No hands raised, Matt. You did a good job.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to item number 4 on the agenda. Amendment number 8 to the Kiowa FY 2016-2019 TIP. Slim or Jody?
That's me. What is Jody? Okay. If I miss something, Jody, go ahead and fill the gap. I think the amendment number 8, you have that table number 10, that's in your packet. Basically, the highway project consists of resurfacing project in County Route 101 and US 60. Also, installation of roadway lighting on the Interstate 64, design of pedestrian bike in Cabell County, resurfacing project on County Route 17 and US 60 in Wayne County, and also constructing roundabout improvement on Salada Road, that's in Lawrence County, Ohio. Also, for the transit project, really, that I think I'll just summarize it quickly. Tri-State Authority is moving, requesting funds to purchase 30 feet buses in the amount of $1.7 million in 2018 and $3.825 million moved from 18 to 19. All the projects will not increase capacity based on the consultation with the intelligence consultation, and came to conclusion all the projects are exempt based on CFR 93.126. 15-day public review began from April 6th, closed or concluded in April 20th. Jody, you want to say something about we remove a few projects from there's a project removal from the current set. I think this project completed with the state funds. Yeah, basically that's the list, and we need action.
I'm good.
You're good, Jody?
Yeah, the EPA actually has more money for station improvements and buying 2PM, renovating the restrooms, et cetera.
I think here, if you go back to the end, this is the list of the transit projects, basically at the end. If you have any questions, Jennifer is here.
Any questions? It's basically our kind of our standard stuff. TTA has some very aging equipment that, and so we do have a request in for the STIP funds to help start replacing some of those in stages. Actually, we have 9 vehicles that need to be replaced that are way past their useful life. And so we're asking in the TIP, and we've also put in a request as an application to replace 4 of those 9 buses. So it's got to be in the TIP before we can even apply for it. So this is where we are. So we need a most. Yes, Perry.
Are these diesel buses?
Yes, they are.
You had a discussion with Bill Robinson with the PW settlement.
He does have a list of buses that couldn't have replacement engines to be that. We just don't know what's going to happen with that at this point.
Right. Are these also the 9 buses that you're talking about that are already accounted for?
They are on that list. Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that they were. And you're right. We're still in the beginning process of figuring out everything on that program.
Yeah.
Sure,
yeah, we are on the list.
I'll make a motion.
Is there a second? Thank you, Patrick. It's been properly moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye. Opposed? Okay. Thank you so much. Motion carries. Number 5, presentation of the Kiowa 2018-20 to 21 TIP. Slane?
If you don't mind, I need to address number 5 and number 6 together.
Okay.
Because these things they do go concurrently together. I think in your packet, you see the transportation improvement program for fiscal year 2018 and 2021, and also we have a hard copy for the 2040 integrated transportation plan for the TMA. Roughly, this is the last piece of requirement for the TMA requirement. We have to have integrated the transportation plan for Ashland and Huntington. And this is the hard copy. It's available upon request because it's very expensive to produce this document, and will be available only for the agencies by request, but will be furnished to the DOTs, FHWA, and also, if you're interested, you can download these documents on CAVA website. And Jody, you have to me, also we have a CD. CD is available, but if you have the CD, most of the computers these days don't have CDs anymore, but in case if your computer allows CDs to be used, you can use the CD. If you need a hard copy, please request it, we'll provide it to you. But we're going to be really kind to save paper and save things. We need to be very strict in distributing hard copies, especially for the MTB. And the length of the life of this MTB, 5 years. Now it's 5 years. Basically, for these two documents, as everybody aware, we have the first draft produced back in February 24, 2017, and the final draft or the final is due on the 28th. For these documents, really, after the first draft, also we have it in CAVA website for these two documents, and after we have the first draft, these documents went through a series of public meetings. One in West Virginia in March 27, then we have a 28 in Ohio and Kentucky. And we received comments from DOTs, FHWA. We addressed all these comments. And basically, in this final document, we addressed all the comments came to Kiowa. Also, these documents went through interagency consultation, and we came to a conclusion air quality analysis no longer required for Kiowa area, since the Huntington-Ashland area is no longer required to demonstrate conformity for particulate matter 2.5. That's what the conclusion. The list of the projects there, to the tip, for Ashland, or for Kentucky, Ohio, West Virginia, and also the project there. Basically, it's ready to be submitted for the DOT this Friday after Kiowa approved these final documents. Any questions or? That we need really the action to approve.
Okay. I guess we take these up separately, or do you want to take them up at the same time?
We can go them separately if you like.
Okay. Well, item number 5 was the 2018 through 21 TIP. And the final will be 4/28/2017. And is there a motion to accept? Patrick, thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Oh, thank you, Jennifer. All in favor say aye. Opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Thank you. And number six, the integrated MTP as presented by Salim. Is there a motion to accept? Thank you, Patrick. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Jennifer. All in favor say aye. Okay, well, motion carries, whatever.
Yeah, and remember, this document is a subset.
That's funny about Patrick and them last.
And the TIP is a subset of this. I mean, these go together.
Okay, item number seven. We're moving on. Okay.
And this is the work program. I think everybody has the hard copy available. And as everybody knows, the 2018, for fiscal year 2018, the work program that's prepared annually by Kiowa to meet the requirement of federal and state, the transportation funding agencies. Basically, the emphasis or area on this work program, performance measures, TIP, transportation plan, help the state with the asset management plan, that's basically, and if you open the document, if you go to the table of contents, it show you basically, for the under section two, show you what's the list of the line items through the joint funding or planning. Then we have the transit for Kentucky. And this document really, it involved more than one, like Parrish, Bethany, Jody, everybody really, Dora, it is teamwork involved in this and to produce this work program. It's important document. And as we produced the first draft back in February, and now the final draft is due on 28 for the West Virginia DOT and Kentucky this Friday. Any questions?
Studies we have.
Yeah, actually, also we, as you said, we have. If you look at the table of contents, we have also special studies. Kiowa will do, and we have the studies. We have the interchange justification in Lawrence County, and Bethany, do you want to mention about what we have? In West Virginia, we have a study in Barbersville, one in Milton, and we have exit eight or fifth state exit study, and we have an economic impact study for the tri-state airport. It's a few studies also on this work program. And we have the local sponsors. Yes.
Well, you might be looking at the financial table.
What's the table number? Table three, okay.
We've reviewed the draft, the CA reviewed the draft, you requested SPRP all funds by the allocation. We didn't have any problems with that. We approved it, right? I'm looking in here, I see that your request of SPC PMA funds, there's been several projects added that weren't in the draft, and it would be helpful if we had a chance to review for SPRL and still.
Yeah.
No. About $180,000 above what we've already put in the draft. We've submitted that page. Which we can correct, we can adjust it moving forward, but I mean, I knew what we had done it on with the draft.
We definitely will need to look at some of the studies that we need to move forward because some of them, I'm not sure, meet the requirement for use attached to
It is solely from the transportation. It will be a transportation approach for the exit 8.
Well, that's what
it's related to the interchange. It's a safety. It is improve the whole interchange and the I-64 around the interchange, improve this traffic movement and circulation, and also make the 5th Street as a gateway to Huntington. It's improve the 5th Street all the way from the interchange all the way to 8th Avenue, another gateway. It is solely transportation.
Well, like I said, we would need to see this go.
Yeah, that.
In the future, make sure that...
Yeah, of course, you'll... Basically, this is only just a show-off, but when we're going to produce the scope, we will share it with you to see if we need to add...
The description.
Yeah, we have the description, also the goal and objectives.
The descriptions are in the written out.
Yes, it said here, basically, it's for the exit 8. That's page 47. It shows you basically the goals and the methodology. If you have any suggestion, we can really improve it or change it slightly. But solely will be focused on the transportation component of these things. The linkage and improvement. Okay.
A motion will be required to move it forward to the policy committee. So is there a motion to accept move the UPWP forward to the policy committee for Friday's meeting? We got a second? Patrick? Okay, it's been properly moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the ayes have it. Okay, number 8. So, presentation of the 2017 prioritized process for strategic highway investment formula for tomorrow. Shift. What a mouthful. Thomas Witt.
Yes, that is a mouthful, and that's basically, I've spoken about this before, and basically that's just the new process that we're using to develop the draft 6-year highway plan for presentation to the legislature early next year. And if you'll recall, earlier this year we looked at our whole list of unscheduled projects, and we did some preliminary evaluations of those projects, looking at things like the crash rate, congestion measures, asset condition, that sort of thing. And out of that whole list of projects, several projects were selected with Boyd and Greenup counties for sponsorship by the MPO, and several more were selected by the Highway District Office. And I think there were 16 projects total that were sponsored, something like that. But anyway, so now we're moving into the second phase of this prioritization process, which we're going to take a look at those sponsored projects, and we're going to have two tiers of funding. We're going to have the statewide funding tier, which is for projects that score really well based on the data that are on the national highway system, and then we're going to have a regional tier for projects that don't that are either not on the national highway system or they are on the NHS, but they don't score well enough to be funded through that program this time. So what we're doing right now, we're looking at we're calculating benefit cost ratios for those sponsored projects, and we're also calculating economic impacts for those projects. And the ones that do make it, that are selected for statewide funding, those are going to be filtered out. And then the remaining projects are going to come back to the MPO, and you're going to have the opportunity to assign local input points to those projects. Up to 15% of the project score will be based on local input points from the MPO, and another 15% from the Highway District Office. So that's pretty much what we're doing right now. I think we should have those to you sometime this summer for you to take a look at and assign those local input points.
I think, Terry, did you have a document that kind of describes the methodology that you're proposing for the DOE to use?
We did. If it's in the policy, we didn't include it in the packet here.
Okay, that's okay. It's basically just a one-page document that describes what the priorities of the DOE are that are they're going to be used to determine how those local and subpoints are assigned to projects. And so that's just going to establish the process from before. So I guess that's all I have to say. If anybody has any questions, feel free to ask.
Thank you, sir. Terry, do you have anything?
Actually, no.
Okay.
There's no action.
No action required. What says action required?
I mean, there's an action required.
Well,
that would be a resolution.
There will be a resolution for the shift, what Thomas had said, but we don't have it here, but the Boyd and Greenup Committee reviewed it, and they didn't, they recommended approval to go ahead and pass it, for the policy committee, but we can...
We did for that, but
they don't have it here.
Okay.
Like, well, for the policy committee to approve it, do we need to have a motion here?
From here.
So I recommend.
Okay.
I'll do it.
Okay. All right. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Thomas, thank you. Okay. We have properly moved and seconded, and all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. It passes. Thank you. All right. We have number 9, transit system status updates for the Huntington, West Virginia, Kentucky urbanized area. Various folks. Current FTA grant programs. Okay. Who is this?
Basically, this is in our topic. If you have a grant program, regulations, something, transit asset management, deadlines, something, if you have something related. But you can do your own update. You don't have really to comply with this topic.
Okay.
It's a national topic.
All right. Mike, you want to go first?
Orange County Transit?
Yeah.
No major updates. We just received in two more LTNs, and we're just getting them ramped up.
Okay. Randy?
Well, we've got another van supposed to be delivered Thursday. We're just hoping bids from the cameras for the bus last week.
I think we talked about it last meeting, but you can announce it if you'd like. Marion Russell has announced he is retiring or has retired.
As of March 31st, Marion Russell, he was the director of Public Works and oversaw the Ashland bus system, has retired. And Randy's filling his shoes in some capacity. So if you have any questions with the bus system, you need to contact Randy.
Okay. You want to talk about the 5310 program and some of the other things we're doing at TTA?
Sure. We've been busy with the transit study, as Gretchen mentioned. The 5310 program is very busy. We've got a cost project about to go out. We've got vehicles that are being transferred from one agency to another on a couple of scenarios. One situation in Ohio and one here in West Virginia. So we're working on transferring those. We'll do a grant amendment for that. We ordered vehicles for the 2015 money, the FY 2015 money from Bayer's cutaways.
As far as grants goes, we have our bicycle rack program that.
Bicycle rack throughout the system on Friday.
Yes.
The fuel bid was up on Friday as well. We've been busy with
the 5307 grant, which is, we all depend on the for operating assistance, all three transit systems. And now that we are TMA, just as you may recall, we need to get together and do a split letter. And if the federal government doesn't shut down on Friday, we should have, it's probably going to be another continuing resolution. But right now, the current funding is for 7 months. And so we, instead of trying to do a split letter now and a split letter after April 28th, we decided as a group to wait to see what the full funding year is. After the American Public Transit Association feels like we're going to have another CR, it'd be nice if the if we were funded 100% to the FAST Act or whatever it is this time around. Sweet tea, some kind of tea, but I think it's FAST this time. But we just don't know, so we haven't done the split letter yet, and so that will give us our operating money, and I know in the city of Ashland that it'll have to be approved by the city council because they are a part of the city. For TTA, it's a little easier, and I think for Little Lawrence County, it's a little easier. And that there will be some capital money that's available, which is very little, under the continuing resolution, under the 5339. So we'll be splitting that money up too. But if it was fully funded under the FAST Act, there would be some more money there. But as it stands right now, it's about $200,000 that we end up splitting up between three agencies. So it's not a whole lot of money when you look at the big picture. I think that's it as far as was there something else?
We have two representatives from KYTC Office of Transportation Delivery.
Okay.
So if you all have any comments or
public transit,
anything that's going on that
we just finished wrapping up open grants, yeah. As you all are aware, the 5303, 5304, 5310, 5311, and 5339. We didn't have any 5307 expected this year. And so we're reviewing those right now.
I have a question, really. It's not with the transit asset management. I want to know what's the requirement for the transit operators and what the requirement for the MPO. And that's what really we need to see. We work together. We need to make sure we're ahead of the game and don't want to be any surprises for us.
Well, if there was a meeting last week in our office, Karen Walker actually held that, and I mean, basically what you all know is what we know, and we're looking at MTA for more information. So as we find that out, we'll let you all know.
I heard will be a tier one, a tier two, tier three. I don't know exactly if you just give us some insight about
these. I believe that most of our rural services are going to be a tier two. And then the MPOs may be able to be more towards the tier one status. Some may be eligible for that depending on the size of their vehicles that they have. They may be able to lean more in that tier two status.
What I heard, really, I'm not sure. Somebody told me from other MBO, they said there is a software available at FTA. We have to download that software and fill all the information. I know that, really. I didn't see the software, and it's still in beta.
I personally have not reviewed it. My program is safety. Carrie actually,
I've tried, but it's really... I think you have to have the software on your computer. I don't think we have that right now.
I don't be able to download it.
It is this what I heard. The software is not finalized, still in beta testing, but that will be one of the requirements of the transit asset management. MBOs, transit operators have to download that software and fill all the information. It is coded. You can't break the codes. Basically, you have to fill the information. It's incorrect and give you a red light or red blocks. That means that's what we need to know when we have to meet that requirement. Did you aware about this?
We met with the
No, I'm not aware about the software because West Virginia is doing it a little bit differently. Bill Robinson has hired a consulting firm to take care of the asset management plans for all the transit systems in West Virginia. And they're trying to, so That's all I really know. We haven't heard an update from Bill, but that's all I can talk about is what we know in West Virginia. But I don't know about the software.
Yeah, last week.
I think there's very little out there right now for everybody to understand.
What's the deadline? I mean, do you know when deadline?
2019?
Oh, 19. Okay.
Yeah. Or 18.
Yeah. Last week when we met with the Kentucky statewide meeting, Tara came in and did a presentation for the MPOs, and one of the things that she talked about was that, you know, about the Tier 1s and Tier 2s, and it was like over 100 vehicles for Tier 1 and under 100 for Tier 2. But then again, you know, most of our agents were small agencies, all of them, you know, and so, you know, if you base it just on the size of vehicles, we would fall under the Tier 2. But then she said there was some kind of little statement about if you receive 5307 funds that you're put into Tier 1. So I think she was supposed to try to get clarification. I mean, if we can actually fall under the state and the Kentucky part of kind of like, you know, West Virginia's doing, whether like the Ashland buses can fall under the state, even though they do receive 5307 funds, but they, you know, because they have way, well, how many vehicles, buses you have, what, six, how many do you operate?
We're authorized 10.
10.
13.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, you know, it's, you're looking at 12. I thought it was 12, but, you know, I mean, so if you could kind of take that back again and, you know, see, that's kind of what we're waiting on.
We can take that back and discuss it with Vicki and Eric and let them know the Ashland buses situation, because we do understand that there are going to be MPOs that are not going to meet that 100 feet.
Yeah. We were told in West Virginia we were all Tier 2 in West Virginia, so. And that there was a requirement of the transit systems to report to the MPOs on, and it was like this July. So we need to find out more about that.
If you could, we would really appreciate that.
I think for us, seems to me, in West Virginia, we're very clear. Since we have a consultant hired by the state, then we cannot. But in Kentucky, we need to know what,
right.
And Ohio, I will contact the Office of the Transit, see what they expect us to do.
Okay, that's perfect.
All right. We'll move on to item number 10, just updates on brief projects that are coming around the community, and Bethany stepped out for the Tri-State Airport. We'll come back to that when she returns. Bree? Well, no, here she is.
Oh. Was
you're
mine?
Up.
Sorry. Tri-State Airport.
Yes, ma'am.
So we just wrapped up the Tri-State Airport Access Road Study that Kimley Horn did. These are the final reports if anybody wants one, but they said that there was actually a piece missing so that they were going to resend some new ones. So if you do take it, we can get you a new one. But basically the study just kind of shows some alternative alignments up to the airport in addition to the current access. There are some businesses and things up located up at the airport, like, you know, and FedEx is up there, and it's difficult for the trucks to get up the steep terrain. And so we were just looking at some alternative alignments. And so if you want to look at what they have, I mean, I don't have a presentation or anything, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Bree, you're up. City of Huntington.
Yeah, just wanted to let people know what we're continuing to make progress on some projects that we have through. Here with the path connections. Right now we're looking at Washington Boulevard and how to better connect what we have there with the existing trail. We're also looking at 3rd Avenue and 10th Street where we have some bike and pedestrian improvement. And we are also kind of jointly looking at ways to better manage path maintenance and repair because we realize now we have good chunks done and we want to make sure we can keep it up. Also, which I think maybe a couple people here could speak to a little better than I, but we're very happy to share that we did win that America's Best Communities contest in case you haven't seen any social media in the last couple days, but we did win that and we have $3 million to on some of those initiatives. I don't know if you want to follow up with anything or Salim or if anybody has any more information on that we could share, but
We have great news about the city of Huntington. I think Huntington has won the title for.
You missed it while you were talking to me.
Sorry.
But
did you have more to add?
Add about it.
No, actually, only just my information based on the newspaper.
Oh, okay.
Don't have anything okay. really solid.
Yeah, as we progress through that, I'm sure we'll be sharing more kind of how that money will be leveraged for projects within the improvement plan.
Seems to me the money, it's a private money, right? It's not federal. Right. That means can be used to match other federal money.
Correct. Yeah.
And maximize the benefit of the $3 million reward.
To leverage, yeah, to get other funds, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think that would.
And don't forget our sub-allocated funds, apply.
I would, yeah, I think that will be on the table.
I was going to ask a quick question about that. The signage and sidewalk inventory and the downtown bike head study, do we have
The signage and sidewalks, they turned into more of a very focused strategic, what did they call them? Kimley Horn called them like strategic sidewalk and connections kind of thing. So they were focusing on, I think, five mm-hmm. intersections for improvements or five areas for mm-hmm. improvement to, you know, they kind of gave us some conceptual design so that we could move forward in the future with some of those things, and a lot of them were related to past, but
the draft. I don't know if there's been any changes.
Yeah, they just sent us the draft and we had some comments, so yeah. We can send that. I'll send that on to you too, so you can see.
Okay. Is that the bike?
That's
the bike ped study. The signage thing, wasn't that the LIDAR?
I think it was all
LIDAR
kind of,
LIDAR?
Yeah, I think it was all kind of
together.
Tied up
yeah.
together.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because as you are aware, for the LIDAR, we did the data collection, but there's other ways to extract that data. And kind of Bethany, she's working with a consultant to extract the data from the LIDAR.
We did get sidewalks, street trees. Did you receive that? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's
the one.
How that works.
I guess I kind of have a question too, and I don't know if it's for you or for Salim or some folks from Highways or what, but there was grant dollars to finish the old main corridor just down below 7th Street for
yes.
that one last little mm-hmm. section. Is that project moving forward at all? Or?
That's a great question. My colleague, Don Kleppy, is the project manager on that one, and he's been working with the state to figure out what the timeline is for getting our on-call consultant from the state to move forward on that project.
We ran into Charlie Holly yesterday, so I asked him about it. So
yeah,
I didn't mean to put you on the spot. But.
No, absolutely.
Well, I think that was part of Charlie did a lot of the design work. So,
yeah, he said he gave CAD drawings to somebody. Yeah.
And then at one time, I think the city of Huntington was going to go out and use another consultant. And then they decided to take advantage of our on-call consultant. So we've been playing a little shuffle trying to get that in line. We should have this. Did you all scope that the other day?
We did. That was not part of the scoping.
Okay.
No.
There should be a meeting set up pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have our local engineer come out and meet folks, city, and our on-call consultant scope of work. And then the way it generally has been working now, we'll actually, and the consultant will be working for us, sponsor, be over our shoulders, making sure that they're getting what they want, their grant. We'll manage the consultant, and then we'll actually bid the project out and let the city, the money, wants to bid it out and provide all that construction inspection and everything. So it can be up to a turnkey where basically we do everything. I think it's big enough that they've got the ability to participate very heavily in the process. Depends on how your final scope comes out, what they want to do, what they want to
do. I don't think it's been determined.
Okay.
Yet. Or do you know?
I don't know. We have
okay.
on-call consultants, but we've got these projects all over the state, and so we rotate through the consultants.
I'm thinking that they at some point have had something.
They are one of our on-call consultants.
Okay.
But they are
and this project, like,
for some reason, I think it's Burgess and Nigel, but I won't swear to that. I don't.
Yeah, and in the past, I think part of it is that we are kind of transitioning from how it was done for the previous sections when Charlie was really taking a larger lead in the design and kind of bidding and all that stuff. And so with him, with his absence, we're kind of doing a different process. So it may have been that they worked with him in some of the older sections of the Old Main Corridor. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Anything else from the City of Huntington? Any questions? Thank you, Bree. We really appreciate it. Okay. Rob Watson, you got the West Virginia DOT and statewide freight study plan update.
FHWA webinar to see how some of the other states were proceeding with their statewide freight plan. We did that, and then we actually, the chief engineer of planning finally convened a long-awaited meeting with our consultant, HNTB, and members of planning and programming staff earlier this month to basically review what HNTB has proposed as the draft freight network for West Virginia. Some of their performance measures they were proposing, and they've actually come up with several project locations. What we've really come down to now is they have just provided some of their background data to us last Friday, and our GIS group is making sure that there are no gaps in the system, and we're going to be trying to define the critical rural and critical urban freight corridor mileage. And how it's going to be distributed. So right now we're looking at a PAC meeting sometime in May, and we're still planning on the entire thing being approved and finalized before the end of the year.
Thanks, Rob. Any questions for Rob? Okay. Thomas Witt, you're back up.
Other than shift, we've been, of course, trying to get the contracts in place for the Metropolitan Planning Organizations for fiscal year 18, and that's going pretty well as far as I can tell, so we shouldn't have any delays there. And we've also been working on designating the critical urban connectors and critical rural connectors for the freight system, so those are big emphasis areas right now, other than shift.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Terry, you want to update Boyd and Grant County projects?
I'm going to actually turn over to Joe Callahan. He's with Highway District 9. He has a project list.
Okay. All right, Joe.
All right. Well, everybody should have a couple of projects in your packet, and I'll just highlight some of the projects. 9-8400 is a congestion mitigation project up here at 60 from the interstate in for the 180 and 26 Walmart. But that's the thing to take away from that project is we're still holding the January 2019 letter for that. The right-of-way phases and right-of-way and utility phases are on there. So on the back side is the Grant County, or the Grant County project, and 73 is the Russell Viaduct project, which is that's on the Texas side of the Iron Russell Bridge. And we're still working on that right-of-way phase. They do still need the agreement for being developed still, and we are moving forward on that project. 9-8509 is a new connector road from the Industrial Parkway to the City of Flatwoods, and that's a roadway reconstruction. And we did get some funding to complete the environmental documentation that we have to do for federal projects. And we're still waiting on phase two design funds, but we are progressing the design. And 9-19132 is the Kentucky 2 project, the 4-mile section of Kentucky 2 in Grant County. And we are still moving ahead in design for that project. But the big thing is we did recently lay the $1.5 million highway safety improvement program project there. But we want to be sure that anything that we do with that project doesn't interfere or contradict anything. A lot going on in that 4-mile section of roadway there. And I've been talking in the past about the navigational lighting on the Ohio River bridges, and that project was completed last week over the Carl Perkins Bridge in South Shore. So with that, we do have several sidewalk projects ongoing at various degrees of completion, but other than that, that's all I've got.
All right, thanks, Joe.
I have something for Joe.
Yeah.
One time we made a request, we need a sign for the Tri-State Airport from Kentucky. Do you think possible if we can have
I can check in on that.
Because we made that request and people we need to show a sign to promote the Tri-State Airport.
Yeah, I'll follow up.
But most of really the people who use the Tri-State from Kentucky, you know, that generally when I fly out of the Tri-State, I ask people from where I talk to them. We need to, if we can have a sign from US 60 or Interstate to show Tri-State Airport,
okay.
If possible.
I'll
not going to try to compete with Lexington, just will be.
That's right.
If possibly. And tell us what we need to do, like use the sub-allocated funds, safety funds, I don't know really.
Okay.
I know the sign is not expensive, right?
No, it should be easy.
But we need like official sign like green and white or blue and white.
Right.
So, nice one.
I will check on that.
Okay.
Sir.
Thanks, Flame, Joe. Thank you. Okay. Patrick, you're up for Lawrence County projects.
On the various pavement markings, the plan specification has been delivered to ODOT. We're right now waiting on federal authorization to start that project. We also have the County Road 5 and 29 project, the plan specifications and estimates being given to ODOT on that as well. Hopefully, we'll be doing that around October construction time. On the Lawrence US 52 Salt Road interchange, that's a design build project. We're working on getting that started. The beginning of next year, not fiscal year, calendar year.
For the solid, how long it take? One construction season to build the roundabout?
It depends on when they can get in there to get started with the actual construction. I would assume, but I don't know how long we're going to do borings and everything in that area. So I would assume that'd be done.
Anything else for Patrick? Any questions? All right. How about the Ironton Riverfront Trail and other things? Is that going to be Jody?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Ironton Riverfront Trail project has been completed and submitted to the Army Corps of Engineers from the control PDF design, and they had received comments back from the Army Corps of Engineers twice, and they're reviewing, they're finalizing the comments. Get a waterfront permit that the Army Corps has to approve. That being said, it's taking a little longer than anticipated to get that based on all the projects scheduled for FY19, our PFP, and ready to go. That's where we are.
Okay. Well, the next item we have on our list is the ODOT update, and I assume Scott is taking care of that.
Yes, sir. We really don't have too much. We've got the State Route 141 resurfacing project coming up within Ironton this summer. A couple maintenance projects along US 52, and then big project down this way, the Portsmouth Bypass. They're still progressing on that fairly quickly, I believe. And last I heard, they were looking at end of 2018, early 2019 for completion.
For the Portsmouth Bypass, that will shorten the trip by half hour from here to Columbus. I mean, it's not a big deal for cars, but a big deal for trucks. That make big difference. And the whole intention really to bring all the trucks to the east side of the county. Gonna see a lot of trucks. That's good.
Trust me, those of us that go to Columbus occasionally, it's a big deal. In a car.
Yeah, yeah.
Rosemont Hill in the wintertime, they usually shut it down. Okay, item number 11, we have a West Virginia DOH priority list of projects for the Huntington urbanized area. Jody.
The West Virginia DOH had their request for two metro areas in West Virginia to send in top 10 on priority list from the metro area into the DOT. The two lists are non-traditional transportation projects, and the other list is operational improvement projects. I do have the list in front of me. We submitted those last month. I have copies if anybody would like to see them. Basically, the non-traditional transportation projects would be projects with traffic signals, the light and head projects, light up improvements, light streets, and operational grid lighting, operational grid lighting, access roads, projects like that, Truss Airport improvements. Anyway, last year's projects are not too less. I would say if you'd like to see a copy of those, I can give you a copy of all the projects. The Coyote staff has all those together, and frankly, if you'd like to view the projects, just see me after you.
What's the total cost for each group?
The non-traditional projects was $46,253,000 change. And operational was $145,671,000.
And those were based on like either studies we've done or what's in the MPP. I mean, they weren't just pulled out of thin air.
Correct. Right. Yeah, they all came from our MPP or the cooperation with the UH.
Yeah, the part of this came from. Anyone saw the governor when he was going out on the had two big roadway signs, and they listed a bunch of projects, and the projects that were listed were relatively large scale. Then if you looked at it, there were also two pots of money. One, they had a kind of short term, and one was a little bit longer term. And the pots of money were several hundreds of millions of dollars. And those were for operational improvements. Those were for projects that really were smaller in scale than some of the bigger projects that were listed. They had some King Cole and some Route 2 upgrades, 522, the I-64 bridge. There was a whole bunch of larger projects. And so we were asking all the MPOs to give us some suggestions of what they would like to see for that other hundreds of millions of dollar category that was out there. We were asking mainly for some that were pretty much smaller in size and that were much more operational oriented. We were hoping that most of the projects would come in somewhere 5 to 8 million, somewhere in that area. So I noticed that some of these projects are a little bit larger than that, and certainly within the time frame we're talking about with the kind of hard to go into full development. And we realize that we won't be able to get to all of them, because right now, anyway, it doesn't look like we're going to get the full amount of money some of it did come through already, that we've gotten our guarding levels and our design build E3 levels increased, so that gives us a little bit more flexibility. But really, neither one of those gives us any more revenue. Even if you look at guarding bonds, all you're doing is you're bonding against future revenues, and you're getting the Federal Highway Administration building your overall pot. Money hasn't gone up. We're just spending more of the money now. While the interest rates are lower, we get better bonding rates, and we'll pay that with future federal dollars.
Sounds good. Okay. Any questions for Jody or Perry? Guess not. All right. So item number 12 is safety performance management coordination update. Salim?
Actually, that's me, but I attended the safety workshop. I think Rob Watson, he was there, and Barry Keller from the state about that safety workshop. And basically, I think there is a certain deadline the state has to meet in 2017. Basically, I think August 31st, state DOT has to submit SIP annual report to FHWA, including the safety targets. And when it comes to 2018, MBOs has to establish their own target or adopt the state target. There is a deadline, and I think Perry Clark, he was at the safety workshop. And you want to add anything about the safety target?
That was a good workshop, and I think we're going to try to have something similar. Gather our areas and to move forward, and we concentrate on those different performance measures that we try to do it kind of cooperatively with the Federal Highway Administration, as well as internally within our different divisions, and certainly reaching out to any of the MPOs that will also be affected in that process.
But as Kiowa, made the decision here that Kiowa will support each state DOT target, and that will be hopefully in 2017, February, we'll have a resolution to support three state targets. That we have no such plan to have our own targets because it's a data-hungry process. We don't have that really, the resources, the manpower to go ahead and have our own targets. And that's what the position cable will take. Just we need to know from Rob and Barry Keller what we need to do before February.
Okay.
Please stay seated till this ride comes to a complete stop. Okay, number 13. Terry, you want to talk about the call for projects under 5310?
We are currently accepting applications for round four for Section 5310 projects. This 5310 is to serve the elderly and the disabled, the transportation services from place to place. This is funding only for the within the urbanized area. You can purchase a vehicle. It does not cover operating expenses. It's on our website for most of the information, but so far the intent to apply has actually passed, which was April the 15th. But if you have a project, we will open that back up because the actual applications are not due until May 31st. So the intent is just to give us an idea of where we stand with how much money that we might be expecting to go out. So if you miss the intent to apply deadline, and would like to still apply for funds, let me know, and we will go ahead and look into that. We've had TTA has applied for the four buses. No, I'm sorry, wrong application.
Wrong thing. Next
wrong
item.
I got too many going on over here for transit. I've been spending a lot of time in transit lately. So, but we've got right now we've got.
CISO.
Yeah, CISO, it will be applying for a vehicle. They're a community action group within the area. So they're the only applicant that we have so far for this round. So, but do you have any other things? Deadline, May 31st. It is on our website.
Okay. All righty. Well, do you and Salim want to talk about the STP, TAP, CMAC, and CMAC for Ohio?
I would speak lightly, then Terry, she can jump in. Basically, I think the application for the STB sub-allocated fund due in 2008. So far, we received four applications from Cabell County, one from Wayne, three from Kentucky, and from Ohio, one. I think, Terry, you want to elaborate more about this program?
Yeah.
Hopefully, we need the cycle to move quickly. It depends on Rob Watson to process these applications.
Put the pressure on Rob.
Yeah. Well, as Celine mentioned, we have four projects in, that they applied for funding in Cabell County. We have a Kinetic Park path, two projects in Barbersville. There's a sidewalk and at the intersection of Shaw Street and McClung Avenue to Kaufman Street and along Kaufman to Brent Street and Peyton Street, which is all near the middle school. So if you're familiar with Barbersville, I am not. I think Bethany went out and drove some, no? So that's what you went out and drove the other day?
I think that is pending.
And that's, yeah. There's some of these that we received intents for, but we're not 100% sure that they're actually going to supply. The other is the shared bike path along Campbell. I can't read my writing. Anyway. It's around Route 31 and 7. It's on Park Road.
Yeah, that's Barbersville Park.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah, the park. Then we have the other one, Tri-State Transit Authority, which have requested four heavy-duty buses. So those are the Cabell County projects. The Wayne County project is we have an airport access road study. And then we have three projects in Greenup County. We have a study. They're all studies. For the riverfront study, the Lloyd Sidewalk design and study, and then Ohio River Overlook. Now we have Ohio. We have worked with Federal Highway Administration and the Transportation Cabinet to make sure that these projects are eligible. And so some of these projects for Kentucky, we're going to have to go back to the drawing board and kind of tweak their scope because some of their requests are not eligible for funding under the specific program. So, and that's what we try to do is that if we get an application intent, we see that it may not quite match the funding sources. We work with, you know, the DOTs and the FHWAs and try to figure out what would be best because we don't want them to lose the funding. So we will try to make sure that the project is eligible for that. Then we have the one project in Ohio, which is classified as economic crash analysis for various crossings or intersections on US 52. And actually the deadline, like I said, is April the 28th. The intents were, I think, the beginning of April. So if you have any questions on those, please let me know.
Thank you, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that. Well, you might as well just
what am I doing?
Keep standing up and talking about the advisory committee for Boyd and Graham.
Oh, okay. Well, we met on Thursday of last week, and we had a good group there. We actually discussed the shift process. Thomas actually was not there. Joe was there, and we went through the whole shift process and explained how that was. We also talked about the sub-allocated funds projects.
It happened.
Yeah, and Brush Off Road project was actually one of the Kentucky sub-allocated funds from round three, and that was one of the projects that we actually sent back to have the scope revised, and they actually revised their scope, and the Federal Highway and Kentucky Transportation Cabinet has deemed that project and all the study eligible now, and that project will actually be presented to the policy committee to move forward for funding for that. So really, anything else that Luke, Joe, that we really went over? I think that pretty much covers it.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Terry? All righty. Item number six, other business, various. Anything under that group of items that anybody wants to report on?
I think
Chandra is not here.
But Jason.
Jason?
Nothing in particular. I will just point out, I sent an email to all the NCOs this morning. I'll probably receive from other sources, but there's a webinar on Thursday in relation to the detailed information for us, the upcoming 2020. The detailed information is only released once every 10 years that has a specific the address information and that stuff. So that went out to everybody.
Jason, do you know any more information on that, like what our role is?
No.
Okay.
Honestly, I do not. It's not a source of information that, quite honestly, I was that familiar with.
When I saw
it come out, it's, you know, it was a little surprising to me, but it seems like that it was it may have, so I really, you know, encourage everybody to go and register and watch the webinar on Thursday to kind of see. I think that it will have some pretty good opportunities for especially cities.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I mean, I registered for it, and Terry and I had gotten some information before on it, but it sounded like it was maybe more geared towards the local entities rather than an MPO. Maybe it was our job to help them, but I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Well, that's kind of what I figured. I have any familiarity with that, the local
entity? There was somebody that came to Elmar from the ladies in Hudson County. She does work for some of the regional areas new information. I forget her name. If you contact Elmar, they can tell you, but she was just there and gave a little presentation. And especially having Rick and Kova so close, I'm sure that you'd be more than happy to come and talk to her. She works directly. She's a federal employee that works with them.
I think she gets right. I think she's actually doing a presentation at the registration board meeting.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Real nice place, Jerry. Very cool.
Okay, anybody going to discuss autonomous vehicles?
I think anybody has information about autonomous vehicles, maybe Thomas.
No, I'm not the expert on autonomous
but
vehicles.
But it was really, I think, a presentation at the last meeting.
Yeah, we did have, one of my colleagues did give a presentation at the STP meeting last week on autonomous vehicles, and interesting stuff that if it does end up working out at some point in the future that we have a lot of autonomous vehicles running around, it could have some pretty profound impacts on the transportation network and reduce the need for parking and free up space for other stuff, redevelopment, bike and pedestrian facilities, that kind of thing. Could reduce congestion a lot, improve safety. So I don't know, it remains to be seen where that's going to go.
Do you think there is any update for the ideas of the picture for the statewide to accommodate these autonomous vehicles or connected vehicles in the future?
I have not heard of any plans to update that. It's been kind of an incremental process as far as what we started looking at, but essentially vehicles communicating with the infrastructure of the technology considered, and then also vehicles communicating with each other. But as far as the ITS architecture goes, I think it mainly includes communications that involve the infrastructure, so it would be V2I or vehicle to infrastructure. But as of now, I don't know that we have any plans to update our ITS architecture immediately, but I understand that a lot of developments are occurring at the federal level, and they're standardizing the type of technology that should be used in those applications, so we may have to update that later on.
I heard from other resources about the new construction for the highways or roads. You have to include specifications to accommodate autonomous vehicles, like at least infrastructure, like install additional cables or sensors. It has to be all the new transportation facilities have to accommodate these type of requirements.
Okay, I haven't heard about that specifically, but maybe that's something we should look into.
Yeah, that's what.
Hopefully our ITS people will be aware of that, and if not, we probably it's something they should be aware of.
The only major construction we have the roundabout. That's the only thing we have in the summer, but we don't have really major.
Okay, well. We have the next thing is future meeting updates. It looks like the Citizens Advisory Committee and Boyd and Greenup County will meet on 9/21/2017. And there's a number of policy, TAC and policy meetings out through looks like April of 2018, so you can put that on your calendar, or September of 2018, so you can put those on your calendar so that you won't be caught by surprise.
Yep. As the chairman said.
Yes, was there something else, Bethany?
Yes, yes. Go ahead.
Well, just a couple of things I wanted to make sure that the group is aware of. One, Jody's working with our staff, Federal Highway Administration, on setting up our planning conference. And the planning conference likely be in September or October. And we're not sure exactly where it is yet, but we are trying to get that finalized as we speak. There'll be more to come on that in the near future. And another thing, I'm a little surprised that wasn't on the agenda, that the West Virginia MPO Association is working with West Virginia DOH. One of the things, one of the initiatives that we've taken on is moving our transportation improvement program, our statewide, and subsequently the TIPS, Transportation Improvement Program, toward a movable project format, in which just looking at the TIP amendments that were voted today, all those would fall under the groupable project. What that means is that those projects would not require action from this body or from the policy committee. They would still show up. We would still give you information. You would still know about them, report them under your financial table. The only difference would be that the administrative burden of having to do the announcement in the papers of a TIP amendment, having to write letters and do resolutions, getting a letter from the governor's designee, only to have it sent over and have it then put in the TIP, only to then to have it sent over to the Federal Highway Administration to get a paving job done, maybe on an emergency basis, all that would be alleviated. We would still report back to you that a project, every time this body meets, these are projects that will be, that have been added to your TIP. Here's the five projects or the six projects. And if it's a major type project, a project that doesn't fall within that those grouping, then that project would come before the TAC and then later to the policy committee for their approval. What we're hoping that this does is it frees up a lot of Kiowa staff time, because I know there's an awful lot amount of time that's done just doing amendments that really there's no value added in the process. All we're doing is we're adding some resurfacing projects that nobody is going to have any problem with or any issue with. You might not agree that that's the highest priority, and that's what we want to free your time up to do. We want to free your time up to develop that closer relationship with our district, where a lot of these projects are developed and where they come from, and have that relationship where you have input on the front end of those projects, so that as these projects go through a development process and they come to this body as an adjustment to your TIP, you actually already are very familiar, well aware of that project, feel very comfortable about it coming into your program, and you spend much more productive time helping to shape program that you all are helping to administer, rather than basically being a fiduciary of paper pads. So we hope very soon, like at your next meeting, we're moving toward that point where we are going to approve projects, groupable projects, because we're moving that way. As a matter of fact, AGP is meeting in May in the Eastern Panhandle. We will be doing that. They will have a groupable TIP at the May 17th, and it was a relatively easy step for them to do. You all are already doing it with Ohio and I believe Kentucky. So really, Kiowa should be having an easier time than say Rick, who's never done it. But again, I think in the long run, this is going to make things much, much more simple for everybody.
Sounds good. I know even in, if we even look at transit planning, I mean, our operating assistance, we have to add that every year, every year. It is what it is. It's in the allocation tables, and it should just be an automatic thing. And even under the 5310 program, it should just be an automatic thing. I can see where the resurfacing projects and things like that, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's small bridges, safety projects, lifts, pavement marking, guardrails.
Makes a lot of sense.
Stuff that really, you know, there should be, it's kind of an ongoing thing. There should be no issue at all. The only issue you might have is whether that thing's a priority.
Yeah.
And at this meeting, you have to decide whether or not that's the highest priority. It's on the front end, hopefully working with our district and with our planning division, that we can help make those influences, that if you feel strongly about some of those priorities, that you get on the front end of helping set those priorities rather than on the back end and trying to affect something that's already gone through a pretty significant process.
Right. Sounds good. Thanks, Perry. Yeah. Anything from our planning partners, Rick? Anything you got?
I think Ryan on this, Scott Perry left our office. He was our transportation planning manager, and he went to work for the city of Charleston as the assistant director of parking and traffic.
Okay.
And Kara Greathouse, here across from me, is taking over all of our transportation activities as our transportation planning director. So she will have a greater influence over things here with our communication with Kyle, I imagine.
Well, every chance you get, give Doug Hartley a hard time at KRT, would you?
Well,
okay, please then.
I've been doing that for years.
Yeah.
Bethany, she has an announcement?
Well, it's really probably more the state, but the 5th and 8th Street Bridge public meeting, do you guys want to talk about that?
And Neva Scobing, yes. That's on Tuesday, May 16th, from 4 to 7 o'clock at the Tennis Center, Bitterbach. That's for 5th and 8th Street Bridge replacement. You want to come?
Okay.
MOU meeting.
We'll be here. Yeah, we'll announce it. There is going to be an MOU meeting right after this meeting. And unfortunately, we won't be able to attend. So. But please plan to stay if you want.
How many people are staying at the MOU meeting? Don't be shy.
Don't be shy. Okay.
Okay.
Entertain a motion to adjourn.
Okay,
it's always in order. Thank you. All in favor say aye. I gotta go to Kyle or Kiwanis.
My nose is bad. That's okay.
Thanks, Lane. Thanks, Terry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hard coffee.
Yeah, talk to Steve. Make sure.
Do you need a hard copy of the
I think it'd be a good idea to have
Well, I've been sitting here all day, I've been sitting in this waiting room. And I've been waiting on my friends, yes, I'm